Blynn and I and Stephanie and Paisley and Lisa, friend of the family, had planned on going to Florida, leaving on Tuesday. And if any of you have been watching the weather, we were to arrive on Tuesday, and so is a hurricane. So we've got a lot of work to do and finagling to do. Actually, we don't. That's a pronoun problem. Belinda is going to have to do a lot of work this afternoon. And we weren't going to have the men's group Wednesday because I wasn't going to be there. But you know what? It looks like I'm going to be there. So the men's group will be on for Wednesday. Yeah, we just didn't think it was wise to hop on a plane and head for a hurricane. So, you know, give me credit. I have a little bit more common sense than that. Not a whole lot more, but that one, yeah, we're going to have to do that. So pray for all the people in Florida that are in the path of this thing. They say it could go Category 4 today, which is one of the biggest ones to hit Florida for a few years. So be in prayer about that. Today, my message is called, We Are Where We Are. And I know that's a deep philosophical statement to be made, and some of you are just kind of trying to wrap your brain around it. But this last Wednesday, or actually, let's go back to last Sunday, and my message to encourage people. See, here at New Hope Christian Center, if you haven't been around, what we are about here is connecting people to God, connecting people to other people, and then releasing you to do what God has called you to do. Because in case you didn't know it, God has a special plan and a special purpose for your life. No matter what it is, and yours is different than mine, but you can't just say, oh, my purpose is to sit in a chair on Sunday. It's not it. And so I threw out a challenge for people, because we are where we are. We are where we are physically. We are where we are spiritually in our walk. But God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants us to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can see things going on in our world through His eyes and be utilized by Him for His purposes and His plans. So I challenged you last week to step out of your comfort zone and just take the next step. Just one step. If that means showing up more often on a Sunday morning, that's the first step for you. Some of you have been coming here for years and have never been a part of a life group, a men's group or a women's group, because it kind of just freaks you out. And last Wednesday, after talking with Belinda and walking through the halls and seeing the different faces that we're not used to seeing in life groups, it was incredible. It did a pastor's heart good to see the new faces. And I had so many people come to me and say, you know what, this freaks me out, but I just felt that I'm supposed to do this. And just showing up, and I guarantee that each and every person that showed up was blessed in some kind of a way. It's not easy to get home on a Wednesday and get the family fed and make dinner and do this and do that, and you finally get to sit down for a minute, for those of you who are still working, and to get back up and come to the church is not always an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do for a pastor, if I can be quite honest with you, because I work a full-time job, and then I also assist Belinda in running this place. She does all the hard stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. But sometimes when you get home from work and you eat, and the last thing you want to do is jump back in your car, drive, and come to a meeting or a group. But it's worth it. It is absolutely worth it. One of the things that we encourage people to do here is to connect with other people. You can't connect with other people just on a Sunday morning. It's impossible. It is impossible to develop meaningful relationships with people by just coming on a Sunday morning. You have to invest more time and more effort into relationships than that. If you're in a marriage, and the marriage or the time that you invest in that marriage is simply for an hour and a half on a Wednesday night, your marriage is not going to be very good. It's just not. So we need to invest time. We need to make the sacrifices. We need to prioritize growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. If you're new here at New Hope Christian Center, you're going to hear the Word of God a lot. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Good music. Nope. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is the truth that changes a person from the inside out. So if you don't know the Word of God, you have limited yourselves. Guess who woke up? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. See, salvation, a lot of people, a lot of churches focus on salvation. Let's just get them saved. Jesus didn't say go and make converts. He said go and make disciples. A lot of churches just focus on, get them in the door, get them saved, and then plug them into something. Just give them a program to go to. That's not the model that Jesus gave us. We are to grow up in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual faith, not remain babies. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That picture right there gives us the fact that we are where we are. Some people are baby Christians, new to the faith. Don't quite know what's going on. Don't quite know what this whole thing means. And those are baby Christians. And those baby Christians need to be protected and guided. You do not bring... Let's just make a visual here. Let's say that Blair and Lala came home with Layla on the first day from the hospital. And they got her in the seat, and everything's going great. They bring her in the house, and they put her down in her seat. They were not able to go, okay, Layla, the food is over here. The diapers are over here. You're on your own. We have our own life to live. That's called abuse, is it not? And she wouldn't live. She wouldn't last. And just like spiritual babies, they need to be protected. They need to be guided. They need to be fed. They need to be taken care of. They need to be changed. Because babies get messy. And when they get older, they get messy, and their messes stink more. I changed little Paisley about a week ago. And I remember how much fun that was not. And she's eating solid foods now. So it smells different than when she was being breastfed. And as the more that we grow up, our messes are going to continue to be there. But we need to guide them and protect them. You can't leave them alone. The people at that age, spiritually and physically, they don't make wise decisions. Paisley will make a beeline for whatever it is that we want her not to touch. It's amazing. There's a natural inclination to do things that other people don't want you to do. She tries to stick her finger in light sockets. She has no fear of falling. So you always have to be there with her to protect her from falling. Well, there comes a time when you got to let her fall. But now is not the time. So they don't make wise decisions. They need spiritual moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles. They need family. They need family. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. You notice that it says, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. That leaves a big gap right in the middle that says they may turn from it. But if you teach them young, and you plant those seeds, and you water those seeds, and I call it during the years of stupidity, and we all go through them. I look back and go, God, thank you for protecting me in my stupidity. And one of my constant prayers was, Lord, don't let my daughters do what I did when I was a teenager. It says, when they are old, they will not turn from it. Those seeds are always going to be there. Even in their rebellious years, they're always going to be there. And those are the hardest years. It's like, oh, Lord, I need your help because I want to strangle them. Not literally. Gosh, people. So then when they are toddlers and teens and growing up, we need to teach them that there are consequences to disobedience. You see, we live in a culture that says, it's not your fault, it's someone else's fault. There's no responsibility for your own actions anymore. It's, it's because of this, or it's because of that. But there are consequences to disobedience. If you read the scriptures, there are consequences for disobedience. Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. You need to make sure that you are aware of who you are spending a lot of time with. Because there are certain people that will help you in your walk, and there are other people who will deter you in your walk. There were certain people, when my daughters were growing up, I was one of those parents that if my daughters were hanging around them, I wanted to know who they were and who their family was. And my daughters knew that I had a network, and I would get a hold of the network. My daughter Ashley, who was up here singing, she talked to me one day, and she goes, do you know a boy named Andrew Mastronardi? And he's sitting right back there. And I says, no, I don't. But I'm going to find out. And so I called everybody I knew on my network. I knew some teachers. Teachers are great, great people to ask about students and kids because they're with them all day long. And so I called my friends, I called the teacher, I said, what do you know about this kid, Andrew Mastronardi? Because the Mastronardi name sounded a little like an Italian gangster name to me. And so I looked and I asked and I found out, and every time, I wanted to know about their family too. And every time I says, what do you know about this Andrew Mastronardi? Oh, his parents are great. Okay, but what about Andrew Mastronardi? But chances are, you got good parents, you got good kids. And so, they ended up getting married. And I'm glad they did. And they blessed us with little Luca, Luca Mastronardi, and Enzo Mastronardi. Does that not sound like trouble? But I love those two little buggers. But you need to be aware of who you are hanging around. If you're spending a lot of time with someone who is divisive and critical and bitter, chances are you're going to become divisive, critical, and bitter. Sometimes you're going to need to give up certain relationships or at least put boundaries on those relationships, because they're not good for you and they're not good for your soul. So you need to watch who you're hanging around with. As far as young adults, Ephesians 4 verses 14 and 15 says, "Then there will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ." You see, we're supposed to mature. We're not supposed to stay infants. We're not supposed to stay toddlers. We are to grow up and to mature in our physical bodies and in our spiritual bodies. We don't just stay in one place. We mature. And in order to mature, you have to take certain risks in life. You have to step out of your comfort zone in order to grow. You do not grow when everything is hunky-dory and you're staying in your own little cocoon. You have to leave that place. You have to slowly progress in your relationships. It's interesting how many people that I have come across in the years of ministry and attending different churches, on how many people, if you asked them if they were mature, who would say, "Yes, I am mature. Yes, I am grown up in my faith. I am growing in my faith." And some of those people are some of the most immature people and hurtful people that I've ever met in my life. You see, a mature Christian is one who loves others even if they disagree with them, even if they don't vote the same way that you do, if they don't believe the same things that you believe. You see, a mature Christian is still called to love that person, no matter what. The Bible does not say, like your neighbor as yourself. You're not going to like everybody. And here comes a shocker. Not everybody's going to like you. But we're still supposed to love. Love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. See, it is our job to either plant seeds or water seeds. You cannot make them grow. And when you try to make a person grow in their spiritual walk, you're actually stepping on the toes of the Holy Spirit, because that's His job. We plant, we water. And we're not to say, "Oh, I am a part of this church," or "I'm a follower of this person." No, we're all followers of Jesus Christ. We do different things in different churches. We minister to different people. But ultimately, we're all on the same side. We are all to follow Christ in all that we do. It's not an us versus them mentality. In case you don't know, there are three New Hopes within like two blocks. There's one right over there. There's one up the street next to Rite Aid. Sometimes we get people coming in going, "Yeah, I'm looking for so-and-so." "Oh, you want the one up by Rite Aid?" "Oh, we're looking for so-and-so." "Oh, they're over there." God bless you. But we all have things that God has called us to do, and that's what we do. So let me ask you this, because in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it describes the early church in the things that they were devoted to. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to prayer. And they were devoted to the fellowship. That is the gathering or the family. And they were devoted to one another. To be devoted means they are top priority in your life. So let me ask you, where does your devotion lie? What are you devoted to? Are you devoted to a political party more than you're devoted to your walk with the Lord? Are you devoted to your finances? Where your input and your connecting with God and your connecting with others takes a backseat to making money? Are you devoted to your toys? Where you have to make more because you have more things to pay for? So that your spiritual walk suffers because of it? What is it that you are devoted to? What is it that, what is that one thing or those two things that are more important to you than connecting to God and connecting to others? And that's a question that's between you and God. I can't answer that for you. But I tell you what, if people who call themselves Christians were devoted to the fellowship, there would be a lot more fuller churches in America today. And that's the truth. Where does your devotion lie? Going back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. And you're welcome. We're getting out of here early today. We are where we are. But we ain't supposed to stay there. We're not supposed to stay there. Because when we stay there, when we are not growing spiritually, we become stunted in our growth. We are something that God did not intend us to be. There are people who have called themselves Christians for years and years and years and years, yet they are still drinking spiritual milk because they can't handle the meat. They're not growing up. And I have a picture for you that I'd like to show. It's disturbing, is it not? Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians sitting in pews and sitting in chairs and sitting in churches today that if you had spiritual lenses that you could look at them through, this is what you would see. It's not right. That's why we're supposed to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What if this person was in our church today or our fellowship today? And I introduced him to a new person. Hey, this is Charlie. He's been in our church for 30 years. Don't you think that someone would look at him and go, whoa, something is wrong here. Yet our churches are full of people that look like this in the spirit realm. Because they're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I was so encouraged last Wednesday when I saw a lot of new faces coming into our groups, going to the women's group, coming to the men's group. It blessed me. It really did. It blessed me. I was very encouraged. And a lot of people came up and said, you know why I'm here? Because I listened to your message and I decided it's time. It's time to make that next step. So I'm going to continue to encourage you to make that next step. Whatever that step is for you. And it's different for each and every person. But go to God and ask, Lord, what's the next step? You see, he's not going to reveal what he has for you 10 years down the road. He's not going to reveal to you the next 55 steps. He will reveal to you the next step. Because he's not taking you to step two until you can handle step one, because it could destroy you. That's how God works. He wants you to grow in your faith so that he can continue to use you for his purposes and for his plans. Amen?
Amen.
Please stand.
We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who knows us infinitely more than we even know ourselves. Your word says that you answer before we even cry out, because you want to do nothing more than to bless your children. So we come just as we are before your throne this morning, coming with every weight, every problem, every issue, every hurt, every hang up, because we know there's healing, there's redemption, there's salvation at the foot of the cross. So whatever it is that we're carrying this morning, we lay down before you, Lord. We lay it down before you. And we say, take our yoke, take our burden. Give us the freedom. Give us the knowledge and awareness of the freedom that you've paid the price that we should have, Lord. But yet we keep struggling. We say, take charge this morning. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We yield our desires to your desire for us. We yield our plans to your plans for us. Because your word says the plans you have for us are good, are eternal. And Father, I pray we will have a renewed awareness of the victory that you've already won on our behalf, Lord. I pray, Lord, for everyone sick in body, sick in mind, sick in spirit this morning. I pray you will touch us, Lord, and heal us, Lord. Heal every relationship that is strained or broken in this place this morning. In Jesus' name. Heal us financially where we're struggling, Lord, as we come in obedience to your word. I pray for our church body. I pray for unity. I pray for oneness, Lord. That we will come and work in your vineyard for the same purpose of making disciples for you. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, Amen. You are dismissed.